The following episode of The Love Bomb is brought to you by Spoke. It's a new free listening app from SiriusXM.
The following is an at-will presentation.
Yoga is not a path of freedom. Yoga is a path of exquisite bondage. Naughty. Disobey obedience, body, bondage. Tie me up, downward dog, hog tied. Shinbari rope party, ball gagged, balls gag. Close to cried, leather felt, whips, chains, handcuffs. Smack a little booty up with my help, scream. Safety word, pre, whelp, consciousness, blurred, direct, direct me, dominatrix, dick, lock, crate this, snake this, holes plugged, promise after you'll hug, tug, 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 then fuck. Roped and choked, pussy lips, slippery slipped, consensual torture, poked, clamped, nipped, that good pain, that good tame, naughty yogini, that good name, erotica. Spanking and cranking the limits, sub-timid collared, holler for the holler, canine pup role play, fire play, waxed, knuckle dom, knuckles mom, sensual facts, electric shocking epidermis, firm this dick, stick and paddle, bruised and used, masochism, enjoy pain, her, him, sadism, play her, him, violin, rimmed, needle play, pegged, pinned, body positive, sex positive, get and give rituals, ceremonial, habitual, flexible, ancient practices reimagined, fantasies fathom, sex clubs, mind shaft, Minecraft, fuck ass, stanga, BDSM, leather mommies and daddies, just a tatty, open your mouth and legs spread, where does it all come from? Fed. Religious iconographic hums not that far from pornographic plums. The sums, where's the line drawn? Who's the one with the pencil and where does she have permission to stick it? I saw her first on Instagram, chode in hand. The naughty yogini, Celeste McQueen, sex oozed out iPhone screen. Yoga and sex, two of my favorite things. I know nothing about her except her pictures regularly get flagged, tagged. I hope she brought the rope. Tie me up, please, on my knees. Smack, do you like it when I say please?
Explosive shockwaves can cause situations such as body displacement, emotional breakthroughs, relatable flashbacks, and love.
This is a conversation with a human I love named Celeste.
Oh my goodness.
Wow, I've never been so turned on listening to so many things about myself.
I doubt that that is totally true, actually.
Well, yeah, you caught me already.
So who are you, Celeste McQueen?
Oh, good. That's a broad question. I am a yogi at heart, a sexual being, a woman with a voice that just wants to scream out loud for feminism and equality, including women and their sexuality. So many women these days, you know, are slut shamed, for lack of a better term, for having sexual desires. And I just like to create a platform where people can talk about these desires without being judged. And that's kind of what the Naughty Yogini is, I guess.
When did you start the Naughty Yogini? Naughty Yogini is your Instagram handle.
Right.
And it's been alive for a little bit, right?
Yeah, for probably 3 or 4 years now.
Okay, yeah. And where did it, like, come from, this name, Naughty Yogini?
It started me doing a yoga teacher training program. I moved to New York going through divorce, ran away cross country, as far as I could get.
As one does.
And I was like, okay, I don't know what I'm going to do in New York City. How am I going to fill my time? I'm going to be here for a couple of months, just kind of trying to get back in touch with myself. So I decided to do a yoga teacher training program. Mm. At the same time,
where did you do it?
At Pure Yoga. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I. Guilty pleasure was reading 50 Shades of Grey.
Ah, there you go.
I will admit it.
Okay.
And also reading these yoga books, and I was reading Light on Yoga and 50 Shades of Grey, and the vocabulary was exactly the same.
So interesting.
And then I just started seeing the relationship between tying myself up into a pretzel and having pleasure and pain and having to surrender to that pain to stay in a pose or get a little deeper. And, you know, you use all these props with ropes and straps and everything. Mm-hmm. And it was a visual idea, a photography idea of what would it look like to tie people up in yoga poses. Mm. And through that, I started learning the art of shibari and Japanese rope tying and learning more about the BDSM community, which is just a beautiful community. No judgment there.
Yeah, totally.
In the yoga world, however.
Right.
There was a lot. Mm-hmm. There was a lot.
Yeah.
So it's just been an interesting path since then of me just really kind of opening up my own thoughts and preferences and hearing other people's and helping them explore, you know, their desires as well. Mm-hmm. I spend a lot of time just on my social media in DMs giving sex advice, which is so strange.
I do the same thing.
Yeah, Yeah. And some I wish I could take for myself. Some I can, some I can't, you know. Yeah. But it's fun. It's fun, you know, having these relationships with people who are so willing to be to open up and be so vulnerable, you know.
Yeah. So do you have a job title at this point, or are you just kind of like...
I mean, I'm
just a
gypsy artist at the moment.
Cool.
I was teaching yoga for a while, but that got kind of boring to me. So then I started creating my own bondage yoga, if you will, and doing workshops here and there where I bring couples together in a naughty way. Start, you know, with breathing and looking into each other's eyes and then just getting as kinky as fuck. Oh, can I cuss?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, oh, thank God.
You heard the fucking
okay. Yeah, oh, yeah, right.
You can say anything as you want on the show.
Okay, good. Okay.
Whew. All right, let's take it back a little bit. Mm-hmm. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Los Angeles.
Okay.
Born and raised Santa Monica. Yeah, lived there my whole life. Traveled around the world quite a bit, but lived there until I moved here 3 years ago.
Okay, what were you like as a little girl?
I was... creative. I was an only child.
Okay.
So
that'll do it.
Only child that grew up in bars with my parents.
I grew up in a bar too.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Okay. My parents owned two bars growing up.
Yeah. My mother, you know, single mother, bartender. So a lot of times after school, doing homework in the bars with the bar flies helping me with my homework.
I mean, the regulars, I knew them all personally. I was serving shots at like 5 years old in the bar.
Yeah. I was doing similar things. And at 12 years old, driving people home.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Totally. That's funny.
Yeah. So grew up quickly because of that environment, I think. And yeah, so I was always a creative child. And how do you say this without sounding weird? A sexual child?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that does sound weird. That sounds really wrong.
No.
But no, I mean, I was always curious about sex. And I had, you know, my mother was a hippie, free child, Band-Aid, if you will, you know.
Right.
So it wasn't anything that was ever hidden from me. It was very much in my face.
Do you know how old you were when you started having these thoughts or these feelings?
Probably like 13, 14, something like that. Yeah, maybe even a little bit younger. I remember having a crush on one of my mom's boyfriends.
Oh, yeah?
When I was probably like 6 or 7 years old, and he came in to give me a hug, and I went to open mouth kiss him because I had seen it on TV.
That
was an uncomfortable moment for mom.
What did he say?
I don't really remember. I just remember him putting me down quickly and my mother yelling at me and just not really understanding. It's like, well, that's how you kiss him, Mom.
That's hysterical. How old were you when you had your first boyfriend?
I was about 17.
Okay.
I had my first boyfriend like all through high school. He was older than me. He was 20 at the time. And wasn't, you know, in school with me anymore. But we were in a relationship for about 4 years.
First time you were in love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What does that look like? What does that feel like? as a 17-year-old.
It was a crazy relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, very jealous guy.
That's the worst.
Oh, it's such the worst.
It's like the ugliest thing in
the
world.
It really is. It really is. And like for no reason, you know, I was madly in love with him.
Right.
But whatever I was wearing or doing or driving or whatever, it was always just a problem. It was
super
very
controlling
dramatic.
And everything. Yeah.
Very. But you know what? It's good. The bad relationships, you learn so much from as much as the good.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
You know, I'm thankful for that crazy son of a bitch.
Yeah. And you were married at one point?
I was.
Okay. For how long were you married?
8 years. The marriage was 8 years. We were together. 6 of those separated for a couple.
Mm-hmm. No kids?
No kids.
Okay.
No. No. That's just not my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What ultimately wasn't the reason why it... what was the reason why it didn't work out ultimately?
The mere alcoholism. Yeah.
It's an asshole, really.
Yeah, it really is. It is.
Yeah.
And it was quite an ugly divorce, enough for me to move cross country for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And just as of recently, suddenly we're really good friends again.
I love that.
Which is nice. Yeah. Yeah, I think he's fallen in love, which is a good thing because it gives him the space to, like,
to explore.
Be a friend of mine again.
For sure.
Yeah.
Are you friends with most of your exes?
I am.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
There's like a couple that have gotten away, but for the most part, I just, if you're going to spend all that time with somebody, you might as well.
I'm kind of like, if I love you once, then I'm always going to have a little bit of love for you, unless you just turn out to be a complete psychopath or a hurtful person.
Yeah.
But usually that's not the case because I loved you. Mm-hmm. So how could you be so awful? You know?
When's your birthday?
August 2nd.
I'm July 30th.
Oh, hello, Leo.
Days apart. That's fine. I mean, that makes sense. It totally makes sense.
Yeah.
BDSM. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it for a little bit. For anybody that doesn't know what it is, give me the abbreviated or not abbreviated. Just give me the lowdown on it.
I myself didn't really know what it was until I started like exploring it.
And that was how long ago?
I did know what it was,
right.
But probably in the last 4 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I started exploring it for a photography project.
Right.
But then
that you were doing yourself or somebody else?
That I was doing.
Okay.
Yeah. And in that, there's other social media places like FetLife, that's much like Facebook for fetish people.
Right.
And so I came across, you know, this a group of people that were so kinky and so kind, you know, and so nice. But BDSM, I think, it has kind of a bad name. It's something that people don't really want to talk about. People are not open about their fetishes because if you Google BDSM, you're going to see a lot of weird, violent-looking, disturbing shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unfortunate that that's the first thing that comes up because I think it paints the wrong picture. I try to present the same things with rope tying, ball gags, butt plugs, whips, paddles, whatever, in a beautiful way because in my experience with people I've talked to in my own personal experience, it's a really beautiful thing. It's a way of connecting.
Yeah.
You have to be very open and honest and raw with your partner if you're going to try some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of has a bad rap. You say bondage or BDSM to somebody and you're immediately like flagged as a weirdo.
Yeah, it just has this like dark energy surrounding it for whatever reason. I was watching this Robert Mapplethorpe documentary not that long ago and they were comparing BDSM to Catholicism and like ancient depictions of like women being tied up and their nipples being burnt off and like all of these things happening. And
yeah, that sucks.
Totally sucks. Like terrible. But like the imagery itself, like like if you like felt a certain way when you were looking at that, it sort of like led you to BDSM,
right?
They're like kind of in the same world. I thought that was just like fascinating. Just the oppression and everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. You weren't raised religiously at all.
No,
super
not at
just
all.
Hippy-dippy.
Pretty atheist over here.
Mm-hmm.
There was religion in my family, but no, we didn't go to church or anything, and it wasn't pushed on me. Yeah.
How old were you when you like started partying? Did you ever party? Are you a partier?
Yeah, I've never. Yes, I have. I have tried drugs. Mm-hmm. I love drugs.
Yes.
But I don't do them, all the time. Uh-huh. It's actually a very rare occasion. I was a huge pothead for years.
Yeah.
Huge pothead for years.
It kind of happens when you grow up in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really have a choice. My high school was like 4 blocks from the beach, right. So, yeah, after school every day, it was smoking weed and surfing.
Mm-hmm.
But
you don't smoke anymore.
Occasionally, yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. I do. But now I go through the paranoia thing, and that's not fun.
It totally happens as you get older. It's weird.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I smoked every day in high school, and then I stopped for a long time. And then the second I started smoking again, it was like, whoa, what is this? I mean, now I smoke a lot. But
yeah. I'm actually trying to become a pothead again.
Slowly
trying to build up a tolerance because I was like, that was kind of fun. If I could do that again now, it'd be great.
The best way to switch is to wax, to get off herb and just go straight to the wax.
Yeah, well, that's
super highly concentrated.
That's what I have. I just got home from L.A.
Nice. Nice.
I did stock up. But as far as other drugs go, I did love, the hallucinogenic. I'm a great time on mushrooms. I'm mm-hmm. a great time on acid. I've probably done both maybe a dozen times mm-hmm. in my life, but and I would do it again.
Right.
It's just mind opening and bonding if you're in the right situation with mm-hmm. the right people. It could be great.
I was in Peru for a couple weeks over mm-hmm. the holidays doing ayahuasca. Holy
I want to try
that. Fucking shit. The greatest thing I've ever done in my life. The most important decision I've ever made.
Really?
It's changed everything.
I have some friends here that have someone that we could go do that with.
Yeah.
But I'm a little it's been a rough year for me, so mentally I'm just a little scared. Am I prepared to go down that road?
I mean, they say it's 10 years of therapy in a couple weeks.
In a couple weeks. So
I was down there for a couple weeks.
Okay.
You're having a rough year.
I lost my mom this year.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So that my divorce was finalized, even though we were separated for, many years and stuff before. It was a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. So I'm like, do I really want to go down this mind-opening path?
Mm-hmm.
Am I ready? Will it be too emotional, too heavy?
Right.
Everyone I keep talking to that's tried it swears by it.
There's nothing more that I could, recommend for anybody than that. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's totally just shifted everything.
All right. Well, bring it in. Let's do it.
So, I mean.
You twist my arm.
Yeah,
right. I don't know. Okay.
I would say go to Peru first.
That's on my list.
Is it?
Yeah. Possibly in the next few weeks, I'm going to Costa Rica a yoga retreat.
And there's a ton of people in Costa Rica that do it, actually.
Trying to talk a friend into hopping down to Peru with me, but we'll see.
Oh. I love Costa Rica.
Yeah, I haven't been.
Oh, it's
I'm excited
so
about
gorgeous.
It.
When did you start doing yoga?
I mean, I've been doing yoga for years and years and years. But when I was going through my divorce and did the yoga teacher training, that's when I really deepened my practice. I went to India with a friend of mine for a yoga retreat and just really started exploring all the benefits of yoga for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get so much out of it. And I'll let it go. I was just traveling for the last 3 weeks and so lost my meditation practice, lost my yoga practice and everything. And then as soon as I get home and do it, I'm like, why do I not do this every single day?
I know. It just makes everything better.
It really does.
What style of yoga do you like to do most?
I like a nice, hard vinyasa flow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hot, not too hot.
I love a hot studio.
I do, too. But, I
can't stand Bikram.
I cannot stand Bikram.
It's the fucking worst.
It really is. Everything about it is just horrible.
Yeah. But, a Y7 class, have you been?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Genius. I
love
that.
It. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You practice at home a lot, too?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, every day. Every day.
So, post-divorce is kind of when these things started happening with BDSM, right?
Yeah.
So how has dating been in that world? Have you been, dating some? You've had any serious relationships post this? How exactly does it work inside of that community?
It's interesting.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's interesting because I have been dating, a little bit. I did have a serious sort of relationship for a little bit, for a minute there, commercial break.
Okay. how long are we talking?
It was probably a good 9 months or
so. Yeah, that's a good chunk.
Extremely younger than I was.
How much younger?
17 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been there.
He
it's
was
all
eight.
Good. And you kissed him open mouth.
I kissed him open mouth. Dating is interesting because if they know my Instagram.
Right. Which I imagine they do at this point, right?
I've dated a couple that don't.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That just don't have Instagram?
Yeah. Just aren't social media people, don't have Instagram, so they don't know the first thing. And I don't know how to introduce it, you know?
Yeah.
So those dating experiences are a little different. I almost prefer that just because I think that there's so much assumption that comes with what my lifestyle is. I think people think I have, like, you know, little boy slaves and collars laying around my house. And
Well, you don't all the time? Just sometimes?
No, only on Wednesdays at 2.
Okay.
People, I think, have a lot of assumptions about how I would be sexually, but I'm actually very much a relationship person, a loyal, committed person.
Right.
I do try to have open relationships, whatever the definition of that is. Like,
yeah.
I don't like labels anymore. Since I've been married, it's like, I don't know that I want to call you my boyfriend.
Right, right, right.
You know, we're loving each other. We're having a good time. But putting a label on things, there's that fart sound.
Yeah,
it is my leather
we're
pants.
We're both wearing leather pants, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to happen.
And then I try to recreate it and can't, right? So, no, it's interesting. You know, in order for me to be sexually open the way that I want to be, I have to have a level of trust and comfort with
right.
you. It's not something you don't – we don't just go out for dinner or drinks, and the next thing I know, I'm putting on a strap-on.
Right.
you know, usually got to get me dessert and movie for that, too. dating is interesting because I think people, you know, have these assumptions that I'm just going to be completely wild and crazy and stuff. And I am to a certain extent, but I'm
right.
also can be very reserved.
So do you think you like play it up a little bit on your Instagram then?
I mean, a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because your Instagram is, like, ridiculous.
I know.
Like, I know so many people that know you off of Instagram.
Really?
And we talk about it all the time, yeah. Like, you are so fucking hot. Like, A, in person, but, like, on Instagram, there's this, like, sex that just is crazy. And you, there really is nobody else, like, doing the yoga thing. There's
right.
There's another person, not
there's the naked.
The naked yogini.
Yogini.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of similar, but.
Well, I mean, that I think really is more about the body
right.
and the benefits of yoga in the body. You know, she's beautiful and confident and everything from her yoga practice.
Right.
And I think she had some body issues before she started her Instagram account, I had heard. I think that's a beautiful thing, but it's entirely different from
totally.
What I do. You know, I mean, there will be weeks that go by where there's just no yoga involved
right.
at all. And it's just all sex
all
or
sex.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like putting images out there that create a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I try to do it with a little bit of humor, too, so
yeah.
people don't think I'm taking myself too seriously.
Totally.
And so that they don't
really
think
apparent.
It's porn
yeah.
or, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
But
I mean, you've had a lot of pictures removed, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Like how many times month has that
all the time. And I've lost my account twice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And all your pictures deleted when you...
I lost one account entirely. We'll never get it back. And then I lost one that I have now that I actually got back. But that was Drake's fault.
Drake?
Yes.
What did he do?
Of all the things on my Instagram account that have been flagged and taken down, I did a video with another artist called My Day with Leo,
uh-huh.
who holds faces over people's bodies. And so we did a yoga video of me doing yoga with Drake's face
uh-huh. yeah,
over
I
my
totally
body.
Yeah, I remember this, yeah.
And because of the music copyright, they deleted my account. So I had to, like, go to his people and beg, you know, to get my account back.
And they gave it back to you.
They did. I was like, it wasn't, you know, wasn't the giant butt plug picture
yeah,
over here.
It's the song.
It's Drake and a yoga video.
Wow, crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do get things flagged all the time. A lot of times I can't even figure out why.
Mm.
Most of the time I really try to follow community guidelines.
Right, yeah.
and I think that I do, and yet things will still get removed. And I've even reposted things from other people's pages, like the naked yogi,
right.
and put her picture on my page. And on my page, it was deleted.
But hers
on her page,
out.
Hundreds of thousands of followers. Mm. It's okay. So somebody just, you know, doesn't like what I do over there at Instagram, I think.
Yeah. Spreading that love around. This is the love bomb. This is the show. Yeah. Okay, I want to take a few moments here to tell you about Spoke. This is a new listening app from SiriusXM and partner of The Love Bomb. Spoke is more than just a podcast app, okay? It's a social audio platform. You can listen to podcasts, radio programs, documentaries, and so much more. Have you ever had a difficult time finding a podcast? Psh, I know I have. Well, Spoke has a team of curators, real-life human beings, not robots, who help you discover your new favorite podcast by finding the best moments and highlights from shows and organize them into thematic playlists. Choose from close to 100 different playlists. There's just so many podcasts that I want to listen to, but it's a little overwhelming to start listening to each one, because I have no idea what I'm going to like or what's good. So this is like a friend sharing their playlist with you, right? Allowing you to listen to the best clips from each song. I love it. If you like what you hear, you can join the conversation, leave a voice comment. You can also share anything you find on the app with friends on social media. That's right, hit me up on the gram. You can download Spoke from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Go to hearspoke.com/atwill to support The Love Bomb and all your other favorite At Will shows. Spreading that love around. This is The Love Bomb. This is the show. Strap-ons.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the deal with strap-ons?
I am fascinated with a man's prostate.
Okay.
Bend over. drop trowel, bend over. Let's do this. You know, it just fascinates me. I love talking to men about it and everything because, you know, you guys have a prostate.
Yeah.
We don't.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings you pleasure, physical
right.
pleasure. And from what I understand, an orgasm unlike any other
totally different.
Orgasm.
Yeah.
So if I'm, you know, being intimate with you, I want you to experience that.
Mm.
And what I really like is how squeamish most guys are about
it. Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, they don't want to be they're interested, but they don't want to act too interested,
right.
You know, because what does that say about them? But, I mean, I find it fascinating. I think that when it comes to sex, you should be able to put anything on the table, and it should, you know, be pleasurable and feel good. And if that's going to give you an amazing orgasm, because us women get to have so many different levels of amazing
right.
orgasms.
Well, that's the thing.
You guys get one.
Well, yeah,
you know?
For sure. But the prostate is basically our G-spot,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean,
yeah,
it's the same
thing.
Yeah,
it's called the P-spot.
Yeah, the P-spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I just left a prostate massager on the train.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. So when I reached out to you, I was like, hey, bring some rope. Let's get tied up.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, okay, yeah, I'm going to bring whatever. I'm going to bring the shit. And so you had a bag.
Yes.
Full of?
I had just a bag of tricks. I had a couple of ball gags in there. I had a huge, giant butt plug that nobody could ever use, but I just wanted to pull it out to see your face.
Well, hold on. I was on the train on the way here, and I saw that you posted the Instagram story
yes,
packing my
so
bag
of
tricks.
You saw what I packed.
I did.
Yeah.
I texted you a couple people like, what the fuck is about to happen?
If you only knew. I had, you know, ropes and handcuffs and blindfolds and pinwheels, and my plan was to tie you up and blindfold you and use some of these props
mm-hmm.
on you. I thought it'd be a lot of fun. However, that is now on the train probably with, I don't know.
I mean, somebody's going to find it, right? There's going to be
a bag left on a New York City train.
I mean, so there's going to be a call
mm-hmm.
to the bomb
yes.
department.
Right.
The train's going to be shut down. They're going to send.
Do you really think is that how it happens?
It could totally happen.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus.
They're going to send like a robot onto the train, right? They're going to open it, and it's just going to be a bag of dicks.
Oh, God. I can't wait to turn on the news. Yeah, there really is a bag of dicks in there.
What kind of bag is it in?
It's in a little black duffel bag.
Uh-huh.
It just looks so suspicious, mm-hmm. I have to say. And there is rope and bondage tape. I mean, it looks like I'm down for a good raping, kidnapping.
Oh, my God.
On a, you know,
genius.
Afternoon. That's what
I'm
it's going to
so
look like.
I'm so sorry, but that is like a great story.
I just wish I had like a name tag on it. I want to take credit for it.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Well, I mean, now we just have to have part two of this podcast.
Get nipple clamps again. Now I'm thinking of my shopping list after this.
Where do you go to get everything?
Several stores. I love the Pleasure Chest. I love Purple Passion. Babes.
Mm-hmm.
Babeland?
Babeland, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know more places in L.A.
Yeah.
that I go to. So I had just got, you know, fresh off the plane with some new things.
Right. Do you keep track of how many people you've had sex with? Do you have a count?
I do.
You do?
I do.
Do you want to say what it is or no? We don't have to. That's totally fine. She's getting nervous here.
I don't know. I've played this game with guys before.
Yeah.
And they'll, you know, ask, like my ex-husband, when we first met, I asked him, so here, you'll get the number.
Yeah.
I asked him, you know, how many women he thought he had had sex with. He's like, I don't know, maybe like 1,000.
Jesus.
I was like, holy shit, 1,000. Exactly. But, you know, he was a rock and roller musician.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
totally.
Yeah, it is what it is. And then he asked me, and I said, well, you're number 40. And he was like, holy fuck, Celeste, 40 guys, are you kidding me? And I was like, you just said 1,000.
Yeah, that's not a crazy number at all. 40? How old were you when you got married?
I was, how was I? I'm 45 now.
You're 45 now?
Yeah.
Looking fucking stellar.
Thank you.
Looking 25, let's be honest.
I was probably like 33, 34
okay.
when we got together.
Yeah, so that 40, that's totally normal.
I mean, hey, the 20s were good to me.
Yeah, but that's not like a ridiculous number at all.
No.
Okay, so post-marriage, when all the little freaky-deaky stuff started happening.
Uh-huh.
So... you only have sex with men or you have sex with women too?
Only men.
Only men.
I'm extremely straight.
Extremely
straight.
I've
never even kissed a girl.
Really?
How about that for a surprise?
That's crazy.
I know.
I did not expect that.
Nobody does. And nobody believes me when I say it. But I can only say I'm straight.
Mm.
I just, yeah.
Do you feel masculine at time though?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you like balance your masculine and feminine energies?
I mean, I think I'm, you know, pretty girly girl and feminine and everything.
Yeah.
But I do. I'm also a little bit of a control freak.
Mm-hmm.
So that right there kind of makes me a little more masculine and dominant in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
But I love nothing more than a dominant man that can find my place where I feel safe enough to surrender to them, too.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So would you like somebody that, like, can play with both then to be super submissive at times and then take over when interested?
Yeah.
Is that hard to find?
A switch.
A switch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not too hard to find. It hasn't been for me. I think because if you're not laughing when you're in the bedroom, I don't think you're doing it right.
Genius.
You know?
Yeah.
If you're just not. And that's one of the things that I like about all the BDSM and the toys and everything is – 9 times out of 10, it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
We're laughing our asses off if I'm trying to tie you up and I've got you strapped to the bed and then I, you know, pretend I'm going to, you know, I usually like to pull out like the really big dildo or something. You're like, okay, you asked for this. But I think it's, you know, it's funny and it's bonding. And so, I mean, most of the time I find myself laughing and connecting with that person on that level than you do, like, taking it really seriously, trying to be overly sexy and just trying so hard.
Yeah, I bet that's just a huge misconception in the community, right? That it's, like, this super serious thing all the time.
Yeah. I mean, if you take sex too seriously, you're losing part of the fun.
Mm.
I mean, it's great to get into that role every now and then.
Yeah.
But... ultimately, I'd rather laugh than have an orgasm almost.
Yeah. Well, I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really not that different.
They're not.
Know?
They're not.
Do you feel like you're yourself all the time when you have sex? Or do you, like, play different people?
I think now, in my fine old age, I'm very much myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I am. I'm not going to have – I no longer really care for, like, just recreational sex for the art of getting laid, you know?
That was some of my next question.
Yeah, no, I'd rather there be a connection. And like I say, I don't like to put labels on things necessarily, but I really want to feel like we're friends first and foremost.
It's the most important. Like, I cannot have a one-night stand with somebody. I
no.
never really have been able to.
No, me either. Like they all come back for a second time.
Genius.
I've had one night stand with somebody years ago. That's the only one that I can really think of. And he was a friend first. We had great chemistry and banter all the time.
Uh-huh.
Went on a date, slept together. He had a dick so big it ruptured a cyst I did not know I had.
Oh, my God.
And after that, I was like, we're still really good friends. Yeah. But after that, I was like, yeah, I am not having sex with you again.
Wow.
So that's my one.
Like, how
stand.
Big are we talking about?
I mean, it was pretty substantial, yeah. You know, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
But enough, a little too big to where, like, I'm not dying to go back.
Right. You like know? A big dick?
I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah. Well, I don't really like a big dick at all.
No?
No.
Hmm. I do. Yeah. Not, I mean, not crazy big or anything, but yeah.
Right.
I do.
First time that you pegged a dude, okay, mm-hmm. like, had you, like, done the proper research beforehand? You knew exactly what you were getting into?
I had a pretty good idea, okay. And he had asked me.
Oh, so he was into it.
Yeah, he asked me to do it, and this was pre-Nata Yogini
okay.
stuff. This was a long time ago, and I just remember looking at him like he had four heads. And
really?
Like, you want me to do what?
Yeah, because you say pegging to, like, most of the world, and they're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was me. It was mm-hmm. just like, you want me to do what? And
right.
Ew, that's gross. No, I can't. And then, you know, through conversation and lots of laughs,
yeah.
it ended up happening. It was a fun experience.
Yeah. Did you, like, go and pick out the toy and everything?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he have say in how big it was?
Or was it
your choice?
He asked, you know, for nothing too big. So okay. I kind of went, like, you know, mainstream mm-hmm. average down the line.
Skin toned?
No. It was black.
It was black.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was. I'd say it was probably, like, a good 5 inches or so.
Okay.
It was... you know.
Average.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And the first time we tried it, it was successful in the fact that we laughed so much that
right.
we were crying,
genius.
You know, but nothing sexy came out of that mm-hmm. at all. And the second time it was a little more like, okay, you know what, he really wants this. I love him. I'm going to give this to him. Huh. And I fucking gave it to him.
And how long did that relationship last?
That only lasted a few months.
A few months.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how many relationships do you think you've been in?
Oh, God. Like, serious relationships.
Probably. Like, how many times have you been in love, would you say?
Two.
Oh, just two.
I've been in love, and then I think I've been in mini love. Mm. You know that kind of love that you look back and you go, oh, wait, that wasn't love.
Right.
That was lust.
Mm-hmm.
Or that was, you know.
It's that honeymoon phase.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm addicted to that honeymoon phase.
I am too.
Yeah.
And sometimes, I mean, that's a problem because I think that I mislead people
right.
because of my own
Do
honeymoon
people fall
addiction.
Fall in love with you really fast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got that problem too.
Yeah.
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 Have you ever been broken up with?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I have. I've had my heart broken.
So you have, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By your husband and somebody else or no?
My husband, both our hearts just broke.
Right,
I mean, when a marriage falls apart like that, and especially out of, like, substance abuse and stuff, and you just can't help the other person as much as you want to,
yeah.
that's a whole different kind of
totally
heartache.
Totally different heartache, yeah.
But, yeah, I was in a relationship with someone years ago, Hollywood relationship, watched him, you know, up and coming and then make it and everything, and then that... sort of changed the whole dynamic of our relationship. And I thought I was going to marry him. That's,
oh, wow.
you know, the first time I had ever even, like, considered marriage.
Mm. This is pre-marriage, yeah.
Yeah, and that one really broke my heart. But it also really formed me as a person.
Right.
I came out way more complete
totally.
With that broken heart than I went in. So.
Mm. I've never been broken up with.
No. Oh, no.
I know.
That's not good.
It's not.
My
it's not
ex-husband
I'm proud
had
of.
Never had his heart broken, and
I've had my heart broken.
Oh, but never been broken up with.
No, I'm the one that broke up.
Oh.
That's a long story. Later, we don't talk about that one
oh,
on
okay.
air.
okay.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've had like a hand. Not a handful, like probably a dozen relationships that like are like 3 to 6 months,
mm-hmm.
right? And then they just kind of fizzle out.
Yeah.
I have like a hard time with this this idea of the one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like what does that mean exactly?
I don't think there is just one.
Yeah.
I really don't. I'm so thankful for all the times that I have been in love. And I do believe...
But you said you've just been in love twice.
Well, real...
Like real
Real love.
Love.
Yeah. I think that unconditional, I would do anything for you
right.
kind of love. And no place of judgment whatsoever. And just, you know, just love the person as
mm-hmm.
they are. A couple times, yeah. But I have loved... For me to have sex with you, I have to love you on some level. Okay. I have to have something about you that I love.
Right.
Let's say that.
Okay. There's like a scale. Let's say love 1 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
10 is like the unconditional.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you need like a 4 or 5 to have sex?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that doesn't mean that I have, you know, when I say I have to love something about you, that doesn't mean we have to have known each other a really long
time. For
very
long. Yeah.
You just have to make
I
me laugh
like,
my ass out
yeah.
for a couple of hours in a bar and okay. I'll go home with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not really. Well, sort of.
You drink?
Not much.
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
No. I will have a drink, you know, socially here and there and stuff, but I'm not, I've never been really big on alcohol
right.
or feeling drunk. I don't really like the
yeah,
feeling
you've
of it much.
Never had a problem with alcohol at all.
No.
Oh.
No. Mm. Thank God. You know, my parents were alcoholics, so I got to observe and watch
yeah.
and learn.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, not much of a drinker.
I come from a long line of alcoholics. I'm an alcoholic as well.
Oh, you are?
Two
okay.
and a half years sober, yeah.
Oh,
well,
congratulations to that.
Yeah, totally game changer.
Yeah.
I feel like we didn't finish the conversation of, like, okay. how dating works at this point.
How does dating work?
So, I don't know, like, where do you... Have you met people off Instagram?
I have,
you have
met people. I met my ex-husband on MySpace.
Oh, really?
I met a man that I ended up having an affair on my ex-husband with on Facebook. I mm-hmm. met the 26-year-old boy on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a social media dater.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's just so easy.
It is easy. Now you've got, you know, places. Like, I don't do the Tinder thing or whatever, but I'm on that Raya.
You're
which
on
I'm
Raya.
Not allowed to talk about.
You're not allowed to?
No, you can't talk about Raya. First rule of Raya.
I've talked about Raya so many times on this
Raya.
Show.
No, but, you know, so I'm on, like, a few of those things, but... anyone I've met on Raya, I've really just been friends with.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Dating is I don't get asked out that much.
People are intimidated by you.
That's what people say. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I'm such an open book, you know.
But I think in person, yeah, totally. I think the persona online is different than in person.
Right.
Right?
Right,
but, I
yeah.
mean, people say the same shit about me.
Yeah.
I've, like, pretty much never been asked out.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Would you like to go out with me?
That's so sweet. It's kind of what's happening right now. We're having our first date.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, okay, so if you're in a bar, would you approach somebody?
No.
No, you wouldn't.
No.
You would sit there
I can
and wait.
Be deathly shy at times. And if I like you, chances are I can't even look at you.
Really?
Which means I don't like you because I'm looking directly at you right now.
She is. It's true.
No, if I really like have like a crush on a boy or something, I just go full tard. Like, I just lose it.
Yeah.
I can't. Suddenly, I'm not funny. I have nothing to say. I get all shy and nervous. And it gets, it can be really weird. And then other times, you know, I could be completely comfortable and bold and have gone up to someone and talked to them. Mm-hmm. But it's not.
It's easier when you start a relationship online and you get to know somebody not in front of their face, right?
Yeah.
When you're like pen pals for a little bit.
A little bit like that, yeah.
That's my favorite way to start any relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can't get that going. You know, I've had conversations with people where I really try to, like, just get a conversation flowing. I think I find you interesting, and then you start talking, and there's just nothing.
There's nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it's always so disappointing,
because
I can talk about anything with anybody anytime. You
what's
know?
Your favorite thing to talk about?
Sex.
Sex.
It really is.
Okay.
It
what's your
fascinates
favorite thing
me.
About sex?
That we all do it.
Mm-hmm.
We all think about it. And it's, you know, it can be beautiful. It can be embarrassing. It's so many different things. It's just fascinating to me. It's never a boring topic for me.
Like, how many times a week do you have sex?
Not that often.
Not that
no,
often?
No, because I'm not dating anyone really right now or anything.
Yeah.
So, no.
Okay, so if you are in a relationship, how many times are you having sex a week? All the time?
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that kind of becomes a problem.
Right.
You know, because people are like, yeah, let me go. I need to go to work. It's like, no, get back here. One more.
So would you say you're a sex addict?
Maybe. Probably.
Maybe.
Yeah.
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 Do you
I mean,
know anything about sex addiction?
Not really.
Yeah.
No. My first love that broke my heart was a sex addict.
Mm.
And when we broke up, he, you know, ended up going into a program for it. And
oh,
we tried to get back together. So, I mean, I do know a little bit about it. But that was also like, you know, pre-internet days and stuff. So as far as doing research back then, I had nothing to really go on.
Right.
But I think about it a lot. It doesn't mean that I'm doing it all the time or that I'm necessarily easy.
Are you masturbating all the time?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like every day.
No, not every day. No, but definitely several times a week.
And like how many orgasms are you having at a time when you're masturbating?
As many as I can.
As many as you
can. Yeah, until the batteries are gone. Like, you know, or the room most... starts to just smell sweaty. I'm like, okay.
I love that smell. What's the most you've had at once? Do you know?
No, with a man, the most orgasms given in like one little love session was about 11.
Okay.
But by myself.
Like how many hours is that? Are there breaks? They're like food
yeah,
breaks.
Yeah, no, there weren't. This was just like one big go round, and it was because I was 33, and I had just hit like my sexual prime. It was a real thing, and so I was like, "Oh, look at what I can make myself do," you know. And I just wanted to do it over and over and over. It really had nothing to do with him. He's quite proud of himself, but honestly, it had nothing to do with him. It was all just like me putting on a show for myself and my newfound talents,
right.
You know.
And by yourself,
if I'm like masturbating or whatever, maybe a few orgasms. Mm-hmm.
Are you always using a toy, or are you?
No.
You switch it up.
No, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just, you know, swift lick of the finger.
Mm-hmm. Do you like ass play?
I'm not the biggest fan of it. I do like a good butt plug. Mm-hmm. Well, we had the discussion earlier. I like big dicks, right? So I feel like you get to have either a big dick or anal, but you don't really get to have both.
Okay.
For me. Yeah. You know?
All right. Yeah, that totally makes sense.
So.
For sure.
I do like, but that for me is really intimate. Mm. Like, you, not just anybody gets to go there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I understand.
Because there's just a whole preparation involved for me because I want to make sure everything, you know. Goes smoothly.
Smoothly, yes. It's a totally different situation back there.
Yeah, it is. It is.
What do you want out of a relationship, like, in the future? Like, where do you see yourself in terms of relationships?
I've been joking around lately with girlfriends, like, when I am dating over the last couple of years, of saying, I've taken a lover. because it just sounds so old-fashioned. Like, I've taken a new lover. Mm. But I do kind of like the idea of that. Maybe that's part of the sex addict and that love, falling in love kind of thing. But I never wanted to be married. Let me just say that. I don't believe in the institution of marriage and the pressure that society puts on people to get married.
It's a business.
I ended up married because the man that I was dating for about 10 months was going to be deported to Canada because he met me and stayed in California too long. Mm. And rather than have him deported, we said, well, let's go to the courthouse and get married. And nobody even knew that we were married for the first couple of years. Mm. It was just like paperwork for my lover to stay, stick around. So I don't see getting married in my future. I would never say that I wouldn't do it, but that's just never been who I was or what I really wanted.
So you never thought about it as a little girl or anything?
No, I never planned my weddings. I never had that thing like, oh, I have to have two children and this and that. Like, that's just not how I grew up thinking. Mm-hmm. I kind of like the idea of just, like, growing old and having lovers until it's just kind of not fun anymore, and then moving on and being single for a while and alone and not – when I'm not dating someone, I'm not sexual. Mm. I have to be, you know, into somebody. I'm not just out on the looking for another man or anything. But if it presents itself, then I'll take another lover, and we'll just see where this goes. And if it lasts, it lasts. And if it doesn't, like, let's try to move on and both be happy and get what we got from it and learn and – You know, so my future, I just want to travel the world and take a lot of lovers.
And a lot of prostate play.
Yes, a lot of prostate play.
How do you feel like you, like, separate sex and love? Does that question make sense at all?
Well, yeah. I mean, being a girl, you know, that's not as easy for us to do because we fall in love through sex or because of having, you know, sex with someone. But, I I think that may be where I'm a little more like a man. Mm. Not that all men are like that, but mm-hmm. I really can separate just like a good sexual relationship and some sexy time or whatever from this having to mean something.
Right.
Let's just, you know, enjoy the meaning in the moment.
Where do you draw the line? Sexually.
Is there a line?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, I draw the line at animals and children
and
things that are not consensual.
Okay.
Anything not consensual, you know. There has to be a level of respect. But you, like I said, you can put anything on the table. We can talk about it. Doesn't mean I'm going to do it. Certain things I don't like.
Like knife play?
Yeah, no. See, I'm not into that.
Right.
I don't think I'd be into that too much.
Scat play?
What?
Scat.
Scat? What's that?
Shit play.
What? Oh, no. No.
It's a real thing.
Oh, thank you. Oh, God.
What about sounding?
What is?
Sounding.
Sounding. What's
urethra
that?
Urethra play. Male urethra play.
Oh, I don't know. I have to learn. I'm learning so much.
Oh, fascinating.
Tell me more.
There's these, like, steel rods that come in a bunch of different sizes, like mm-hmm. thicknesses. I've never done it, but I've always been fascinated by it. And you put them in,
uh-huh.
right? And you can, like, tap them. And they vibrate inside of your urethra.
Ooh.
You tap them with like another piece of metal.
Inside you tap it? Like, or so outside, like, and it's in, and then
it's in, and then there's a piece sticking out, and you like ding, and it goes.
Oh, I just felt that thinking about it. That might be amazing, actually.
I mean, I don't know. Like, have you seen that Mapplethorpe picture where like that dude has a pinky inside?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know anything about it, but I've just. So you've never done that?
No.
Okay.
No. No, but I'm going to go do some research.
You're
going to
go
now.
Do some research now.
Yeah. I don't know where the line is, really. I think – oh, I was going to say I don't like name calling.
Mm.
I don't mind if you say, oh, you're my dirty little whore, but not you're a dirty little whore.
Okay.
You know, if I'm your dirty little whore, I'm
okay
with it.
Yeah.
But I don't like – you know, I don't like, oh, you bitch or you piece of shit and things like that. That does nothing for me.
Rape
fantasy?
It
does not turn me on. No.
No.
No, no rape fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
No.
The perfect night of sex. Walk mm-hmm. me through it.
Perfect kind of sex.
Like, just absolutely perfect. Dream sex.
Well, I mean, that kind of just takes me back to a particular night.
Mm, okay.
With a lover. And that was the first time that I did anal.
Mm.
That it was such a beautiful bonding experience. We had discussed it. We knew we were going to try it. I kind of prepared all day. I talked to, you know, some of my friends about it. They gave me some tips as far as making it as pleasurable as possible. And it was very, you know, we had music and candles and...
poppers?
No.
No poppers.
I haven't dealt with poppers, but... They're quite the thing, right?
It's just a fucking headache, to be honest with you.
Really?
It's such a brain rush. It's like, it's not fun.
But
it can be really fun if you like need it, you know?
Yeah. See, I don't ever really think if I'm going to do drugs, I feel like I just want to be out having fun with friends or something. I don't think that I need
totally
it.
It's totally not even
sex.
Like a drug.
It's not?
No, it's just like it just like relaxes your whole body. So you just don't feel the
pain.
But
it's just for like a moment, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's for like 20 seconds.
Interesting.
Just like to get it going, you know?
Yeah.
Because like it's always the first insert that hurts the most.
Right.
Then you like pull back out for a second and then you're fine.
Right,
so it's like just for that first insert.
Remember that like if it comes out, you do not put it back in. Yeah. Until I say you put it back in.
Exactly. All right. Walk me back through it.
It was just kind of this like beautiful, intimate night where there was just a lot of trust and love and comfort involved. And we were very much just connected.
Right.
And I think, you know, anytime, like just coming through the door and wanting to rip each other's clothes off because you're so excited to see each other and you just start fucking everything. Like, that's all great and everything. Mm. But it's more when you kind of slow things down and start breathing together and really looking at each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if it is dirty sex,
uh-huh.
you can still make dirty loving sex. Mm. You know? Dirty loving love.
Do you feel sexy all the time?
God, no.
No?
Oh, God, no. Most of the time, I don't.
Really?
Yeah. No.
Why not?
Not at all. Because, I mean,
not like sexual, like to feel like sexy yourself.
I think I'm a sexy person just by nature. I just feel like that's, you know, it's just kind of a part of my chemical makeup and who I am. Some people are more sexual than others, but I certainly don't feel sexy all the time. You know, I have all my shortcomings and insecurities. And
what are you most insecure about?
What am I most insecure about?
I'm not fucking around here. I'm going straight in.
I know. I know. Well, okay, for me now, it's been aging. It's been, you know, 45 years. I'm on the wrong side of 40, if there is a right side of 40, you know. But I think it's just like getting older and certain people having, I think, expectations with like, well, you shouldn't still be doing this at your age or you shouldn't be taking pictures like that. You shouldn't be doing this or that.
It's if like, they looked like you, they would still be fucking taking those pictures too.
It shouldn't matter what you look like or how old you are. You know, if you want to express yourself in any way, artistically, sexually, whatever, then you should, you know, be able to do it and not be judged for it. But I think that that's been the hardest part. When I was dating the 26-year-olds, I lied about my age.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
That's what my whole TV show is about, you know.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
I'm on a show called Younger.
Okay, yeah.
I'm the 26-year-old that's dating a 42-year-old.
Oh, well, that was my relationship.
She lied about her age to get into the relationship. And for like months we were dating and I thought she was my age.
That's exactly what I did.
Oh my
God. Exactly what I did. And I wasn't just lying to him though. I was lying to everybody.
That's literally my TV show.
Everybody about my age. I took 10 years off so I could do the math. You know? And
so then what year were you born?
71.
Okay.
But yeah, I was like, okay, 81. I could do the math on that. I lied to him about it, and lied to everybody about my age. And then he found out, he saw my ID and he was like, wait a minute, Celeste. He's like, you know, you said a few things along the way that made me think maybe she's not 33 because I was 43 at the time.
Just references and shit.
Yeah, yeah. Talking about things like working on Baywatch and stuff. He'd be like, you said you worked on Baywatch, but that wouldn't have made sense because you would have been like 15. I'm like, oh, oops, my bad.
Are you an actress?
No. I did stunts.
Stunts?
On for the ladies of Baywatch.
Oh, sick.
For a few years.
How did you get into that?
I lived in Santa Monica on the
beach.
And
so you were surfing
fake
and shit.
Boobs and blonde hair. There was just a spot open for me.
How old were you when you got boobs?
I was... the first boob job I got, I was 18. On April Fool's Day.
Wow.
I left and came home, and my mom thought it was an April Fool's joke. It turned out it was very real. And then I had them redone when I was 23 because my boyfriend at the time liked really big boobs, and he gave me a birthday card that said, for your birthday, I would like to pay for half of a boob job.
Huh.
First of all, he was a millionaire.
Yeah.
And he only bought this one. This is the bad one. So I say he bought this one.
Oh, no. What do you mean he only bought one?
He paid for half.
He was like, you have to pay for the other half.
Yeah.
But that's so fucked up. And I didn't even want
bigger boobs, but I was like so insecure at the time and like just, you know, that was what, like the early 90s. Mm-hmm. So I was going out for roles for things like Baywatch and Married with Children. And like that was just kind of the look, you know, the big blonde hair and big boobs. And so I had agreed to do it and picked out like a nice C-cup boob implant. He, being the Hollywood boyfriend, was friends with the doctor. And when after I was put under, they decided that I should have double D cups.
After.
So I woke up.
Wait a second. That's like a felony, I'm sure.
I know. I woke up with larger breasts than I had signed up for and a bandage around my entire face because they had decided to suck out the buckle fat in my cheeks.
Oh,
without
my
consent.
God. What did you do about it?
I mean, the doctor ended up dying that night. He OD'd on cocaine.
That night? This is the craziest fucking story I've ever heard. Outside of you leaving a bag of toys on the
I know, right?
Subway.
My mother came down and, you know, yelled at my boyfriend until she was blue in the face, called the doctor's office, threatening them, and the next day took me into the doctor's office for my follow-up appointment, and everybody was there and kind of really upset and found out that he had OD'd the night before. And
the boyfriend
died.
Of the doctor. No, the doctor.
Yeah, they were good
together.
Buddies. Yeah.
Wow.
And so
that is really dark.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was severely depressed over it for a couple of years because I couldn't afford to go get another boob job.
Right.
And so I had these huge boobs, and they weren't my choice, and my face looked different.
Hmm.
You know, so it was really depressing for a while because since that day, if people say, oh, Celeste, you know, wait, who's that girl? You know, the girl with the blonde hair and big boobs. Like, that's just my description now.
Hmm.
That's just part of who I am. So I've accepted it now, and I will have them redone to my liking.
Hmm.
But yeah,
you want to do that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I have to. They have to be redone as it is anyway. You're supposed to like switch them out. But yeah, I want what I originally, you know, signed up for.
Hmm.
So yeah, that was a good time.
Anything else you want to do? Surgically?
No, yeah. I really don't. I don't. I don't like all the fillers and nips and tucks and everything, and
right.
I think that I eat healthy and take good care of myself.
I feel like
I'm aging okay.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
I wouldn't mind. Yeah, no. I didn't.
What is your diet? I mean, how do you look this good?
I don't really say that I would have a diet because
mm-hmm.
I don't eat what I want. But I mean, I eat typically healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have a week where I'm a vegan
mm-hmm.
and then another week where I'm like out at steak dinner,
yeah,
you know,
totally.
So it's just kind of all over the place. I feed myself what I want. I don't deprive myself of food or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to work out every day, whether even if it's just a quick workout of just a few salutations in the morning or whatever,
mm-hmm.
get the blood flowing. And
so you only do yoga or you do other shit too?
I only do yoga.
Huh.
That's it. I don't like gyms.
Yeah.
I don't like weights. I don't like cardio.
Yeah.
I really like yoga. I just did my first two Pilates classes this week.
Where?
At a place of 6th Street Pilates.
Okay.
Little tiny studio. And I like it.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I've never even tried it before.
Uh-huh.
But the machines are fascinating
on
to me.
On the
I'm like,
former,
I
yeah.
might need one of these Cadillac reformers in my home for
uh-huh.
many reasons.
Yeah. My best friend has been a reformer trainer for like 12 years. She is the head trainer at SLT.
Okay.
You should definitely go. I'll make that
yeah
happen.
Okay
yeah I mean
yeah.
It's
I'd like to get a little familiar with it first
yeah.
but no.
Well, I mean I can like set up a private
yeah.
or something
yeah that'd be great
yeah do you love yourself
I do
yeah
I do
what
yeah.
does that mean
it means I think loving myself means I've accepted myself
mm-hmm.
for all my faults and shortcomings, and there are many, but I'm also learning that that's what makes you who you are
mm-hmm.
and we can change who we are at any time. And I didn't love myself for a while there, especially like going through my divorce, and I wasn't being the most honest person at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, it wasn't a good time, but I do love myself.
Mm.
I think it's important just to have self-acceptance and self-awareness, and yeah, I'm finally there.
Yeah, I love that. And if you could like say one thing to specifically like women who are listening to
mm-hmm.
this, what would it be?
Fight for your orgasm.
I
don't fake it. You deserve to feel that pleasure, and you know, say what you want and get what you need, and don't feel ashamed of it.
Right?
Like, yeah. Get what you want and fight for that orgasm.
Do you usually like to come first?
I think it's important too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was reading something last night actually, about. What was it? Some like Chinese book where in China, apparently, they are brought up to make sure that the woman comes first.
Mm.
And because when they see it, that when a man comes, there's a part of him that dies, that he's given up his energy if he didn't make sure that she came first. But if she's come first, then when he comes, it's like a mutual exchange.
It
I mean, that makes just
sense.
So much sense to
yeah.
me. Yeah.
Do you watch porn?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
I will.
All types of porn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All types of porn.
Everything.
Yeah. I mean, that's where.
Are you into two guys having sex?
Yeah, I like watching that.
Yeah?
I do.
Have you ever had a threesome with two guys?
No.
No.
No. That is my darkest go-to fantasy. So if I am masturbating or if I am having sex, and I will go to like kind of that fantasy where if I'm having, you know, someone's. giving it to me, it was like, God, you know, a cock in my mouth would feel really good right now, too. There's just, I get that oral fixation where it's like, God, I'd really like that.
So you've never had a threesome at all?
No, I've never had a threesome.
Oh, wow.
Mm-mm. No, and the thing is that I don't want to have a threesome with two guys, even though that's my go-to darkest fantasy.
You don't want to.
No, I really don't. Hmm. I really don't care to do that. I think that I might feel like I was being objectified, even if it was my idea and I was bringing it to the table.
What if the two guys were fucking and you were like directing the situation?
That I can do all day long.
Really?
Yeah, that I can do all day long. And I do want to have a threesome with a girl. I do, yeah. But it would have to be like the right guy, the right girl, someone that can turn me on. I do get turned on by girls, but no one that I've ever like wanted to just reach over and kiss. And if that doesn't happen, I'm not going to make it happen. That's not going to be authentic or as fun as it should be.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know what I love about this show? Hmm. And I'm going to just like fucking toot my own horn for a second. Like, I've had a hand.
I can teach you how to do that.
Sure, you could.
I just had a guy do that. I don't know if you saw the rest of my Instagram story.
No, I didn't.
But I posted the picture of all the toys I was bringing, and some guy started DMing me. He was like in plow position trying to suck his own dick. And then he completed.
Wait,
all over his own face.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wait, he was sucking his own dick?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, I've gotten really close. I don't think my dick's big enough to like totally get there. I mean, I'm like pretty flexible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. My dick like has a curve to it too.
We can try.
I have a birthmark on my penis too.
Oh.
Like the head of my penis has a spot on it.
Really?
When I was born. I've never said this on the show before. When I was born, I came out and the doctor was like, well, we know what his pickup line is going to be. You want to see my birthmark?
and have you said that?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Okay, great.
No, not really.
No.
I've told that story.
Okay.
And like that's
but you haven't actually
a better
used
version
it.
Of it. No, I'm not that fucking cheesy.
So what were you going to say, what you love about this show?
Just, I've had a handful of people on that I don't really know much about, right? But I, like, know who they are on social media. And I just come to find out that people are just, like, so much more human than what you think mm-hmm. they are. And I think that that's, like, such an important thing for everybody to think about all the time. Like, we have all of these preconceived ideas of who people are and what they do and, like, how fucking crazy they are, whatever. But, like I would never have expected that you had not had a threesome.
I know.
Ever.
I know. Even I'm like, really, Celeste?
Yeah.
You know? I know. But, yeah, it just hasn't happened, but I would never rule it out. I would just want it to. You know, I've just heard so many stories about how they kind of go down and stuff, too, and it just never really feels like it started authentically.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I would want. I don't want to go out and try to find some girl or go to a strip club to try to find somebody to take home.
Right,
or
no.
Like, I don't want to do it that way. That's
I mean,
not going to be real.
I haven't had one since I've been sober.
Hmm.
I had, like, a lot of drunk group situations.
Okay.
But never since I've been sober.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm. Do you think that you would again in
oh,
your
yeah.
sober life?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think I've actually reached my, like, sexual prime.
How old are you?
28.
Yeah, probably not.
No.
No.
I think that there's, like, a lot more for me to explore. And I've explored quite a bit.
Right. No, I mean, 28, especially I think for a man, is still kind of young as far as you finding your confidence.
Right.
You know, you think you have it there when you're like 18, 19, 20 because of stamina and mm-hmm. you can go.
Totally.
But it's so much more than just having stamina. It's about having that confidence and being able to connect with somebody.
Right.
I don't think you've hit your prime yet
yeah.
either.
I mean, I think once you move from like your dick to your head to your heart, it's mm-hmm. like just three totally different things to play with.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in a situation where he couldn't get hard?
Yes.
The guy?
Yeah.
How do you handle
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Usually, I mean, I'll try. I will talk about it. I'm not going to, like, ignore the elephant that's not in the room. <You know?
laughs> Who do you think it's more embarrassing for, him or you?
Probably him.
Okay.
But then, you know, as a female, too, you start to think, well, is it me?
Right.
Is he not attracted to me? Am I doing something wrong? Do I smell funny? Is there something, you know, like that kind of a thing. But, I think it, you know, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
You get too caught up in your head or you're stressed about something else that's going on at work or whatever, and it can happen. And I think guys really beat themselves. And I'm older now, too, so I tend to date older guys that
right.
kind of have that problem. I was dating somebody, you know, it was 50. It's the most age appropriate I've ever dated.
Really?
And
so when you were younger, you dated older?
No, like right around. Everyone's always usually like a couple years younger than me or my age.
Right, okay.
But I was last year dating someone that, you know, had just turned 50, and I could tell that mm-hmm. it was affecting part of his performance and affecting him and in his head and everything. And I didn't ignore it. It's just like, such is life, you know. Let's work together. We'll make this happen. And
right.
yeah. And then it just makes me work harder, you know. I'm yeah. like, I will make you calm.
You like the challenge.
Of course I do. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. All right, last question. I feel like we could talk for days, and I think this is just the first time that I'm going to hang out with you. But this is going to be a two-parter. What do you think of when you hear the love bomb?
The love bomb makes me think of like that first moment when you're like, oh, this person, there's something there. You know, that first moment, and you could know them for a while, but the love bomb, it makes it sound like the bomb just dropped. Like, oh, wow, now I'm looking at you a little differently.
I love that. Nobody's ever said that.
Hmm.
That's good. All right. Yeah. And what is love?
Love is love. Yeah. Love to me is, it's when you get to that place where you're suddenly not first. You know, the other person is your equal, and you start thinking about their better well-being over your own almost. It's this unconditional feeling of connection, you know, just being connected to somebody and trust and open and finding that space with someone, which isn't always easy to do. We're all so guarded these days.
We really are.
Yeah.
Well, I love what you do. I just like love what you represent.
Thank you.
It's so positive, and I don't know. I just wish more like people just saw the world the way that you see it. I just think that there's
it's just sex. That's how we all got here.
And there's like
up.
Nothing like dark around it at all.
No.
It's just so light and positive, and I just think it's so important. And just thanks.
Oh, well, you're welcome.
I'm
Thank
happy
you.
We finally met.
Me too.
All right,
it's great.
Spreading that love around. This is the love bomb. This is the show.
Celeste McQueen, the Naughty Yogini. I know I said it in this episode, but I'm going to say it again. One of my favorite parts of this show is the fact that people come in and I get a chance to learn so much more about them than what I thought I knew, you know? We only see really specific sides of people through social media. You know, obviously it's different across the board, but there's just so much more to this human than I even thought or I even, like, put into my own perspective. Yo, follow the Naughty Yogini on Instagram. It's TheNaughtyYogini. Celeste, I know that you have been in Bhutan and Thailand the last few weeks, and I've been talking to you recently, and I know Celeste and I will be very important in each other's lives, and are, and we're like super connected on this soul level, but haven't really, you know, shown up for each other in terms of like a physical level yet. Like, that's not what I wasn't saying sexual. I was saying just like a physical exchange of energy. Whatever. Read it however you want. But, you know, our time will come, and I really cherish our friendship, and I know that you're, like, always there on the other end of this little machine that we all have, and I really appreciate it. I wish you all the best, and I love you, and I'm just so grateful and appreciative of everything that you stand for and represent. Like, fuck yeah. And on a more serious note, it would be completely irresponsible of me to not mention the horrific events that took place in Charlottesville, Virginia this past weekend. White supremacists, nationalists, neo-Nazis, KKK, bigots, whatever you want to call them, whatever that group of people wants to be labeled as, y'all can go fuck yourselves. There is no place in this country for any of you. You are a disgrace to all of humanity. I actually can't think of a worse evil in this country than what you represent, okay? If you're white and you have white racists in your family, pick up the phone and call them today and fucking get on their asses. That's what we can do as white people. We don't need to fucking tell black people, like, we're on your side, all the shit. Yeah, that's beautiful and all, but the real change that we can make is within our own community. Okay? Fucking stand up for each other. Tell the fucking asshole in your family that they're an asshole. I could keep going for hours on this. I'm a little worked up, obviously. I love you all, except for them. This is the Love Bomb. Thanks again to our partner Spoke, SiriusXM's new app that allows you to listen to podcasts, radio programs, documentaries curated specifically just for you. Go to hearspoke.com/at will. That's HEARSPOKE.com/ATWILL right now.